Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
In Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bible today, if you'd like to turn with me to Psalm 46, a very well-known passage. One easy way to find Psalms is to open your Bible in the middle and find Psalm 46, which says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen, and may God bless the reading of his word. We're looking at a series just now called Crisis Proof, Biblical Certainties in an Uncertain World. And this is the third time that I've spoken on the subject I'm speaking on just now. It's actually my fourth message in this series. But I started by telling a story of how I was at a minister's training day, and somebody began by reading this verse, this passage that I've read today, and just stopped when they said, God is. And as I was preparing for this series, I felt that I should pause a while and look at some of the things that the Bible says that God is. I mentioned a few weeks ago that there are actually 163 different times in the Bible where we read the words God is. And I've sifted through them, and I'm going to share a dozen of them that I've called the dynamic dozen. And so far, we've looked at half a dozen of them. And I believe if we apply these principles to our lives, the Bible is more than something to quote. It is the living word of God that can help us day by day. And I'm wanting to put something into you that will help you go through these difficult days in which we live. And so far we've looked at God is true and asked ourselves a question: are we true to his word, to our calling? God is near. Are we drawing near and doing life with him? God is faithful. Are we faithful? What's one of the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. God is the one who goes before. Do we seek his guidance? Do we let him rule and reign? Do we ask him for vision and strategy? And God is sovereign, almighty, King of kings and Lord of lords. Is he Lord of things like our diaries? Stephen spoke about our diary today. Our fears, our offenses, our fear of people. And today I want us to look at the subject of God is with us. The psalm that I read begins with the statement that God is our refuge and strength, and then ever-present help in trouble. And I've lost count of the number of times I have quoted that psalm, read that psalm to people whose lives are in the midst of distress. I've proved that myself in my own life, that he is just that, an ever-present help in trouble. I remember how that became very real to me when my father died, and I found out to be true in difficult and hard seasons. I heard Craig Rochelle preach on this on one occasion. And Craig leads a very large church, if not the largest church in the States. And I was listening to him in podcast, and he spoke about the background being the Assyrian invasion of 701 BC, and how it was a very, very trying time for the people of God. The Assyrians, you see, were like a war machine. They had tremendous power, and they were noted for their cruelty, and I would not even feel free to tell you about how cruel they were. It wouldn't be for an audience such as this. But you could always, of course, Google it. And into that situation where there was this invasion by the Assyrians, that God spoke through the psalmist and told them that he was a refuge and strength and an ever-present help in trouble. The word present really means to be found by experience, to be so. They found it to be so, says one of the old commentators, and another says, a help found to be very powerful and effectual in straits and difficulties. The words are very emphatic. He has found an exceeding or superlative help in difficulties. Such we have found him, and therefore celebrate his praise. The old commentators are saying that God, this is true. God is, we found it by experience that he is that. And as a result of that, as the psalmist says, we can go on to be still our hearts and know that he is God, that he's in control of our crisis, of our situation at this moment in time. And that the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Two different words for fortress are used in this psalm. He's a refuge or a shelter or a rock of refuge in verse 1. And verses 7 and 11, it means a stronghold, a high tower, or it says in the NIV, a fortress. Both declare that God is dependable. He's a dependable refuge for his people when everything around them seems to be falling apart. The Bible makes countless references to the fact that God is with us. The problem I face today is, what do I leave out, not what to say. It's mentioned, for example, in the Christmas message, with whom most of us are familiar. We read about and we sing songs about Emmanuel. Emmanuel, of course, means God is with us. And to find out where that word was first used in the Bible, we've got to go back to Isaiah in chapter 7. In the background, again, was once again troubled times. Two kings, King Rezin of Aram, or Syria, and Pekah of Israel, were marching against Jerusalem. This was a powerful coalition that made King Ahaz of Judah and his people's hearts shake, the Bible says, like the trees of the forest when shaken with a wind. This was a very, very difficult and hard time for the king of Judah. So God told Isaiah the prophet to go with his son to meet King Ahaz and tell him to be careful, to keep calm, and to trust. You see, keep calm and carry on is not something from the Second World War. It was long before that. It's there in the Bible. And Ahaz had already decided, of course, to seek an alliance with the king of Assyria, which would cost him dearly. God did not want him to do that. God wanted him to trust in him. So we read in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 4, say to him, to the king, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and of the son of Remaliah. Great words indeed. And then he says that Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, let's invade Judah. Let's tear it apart and divide it among ourselves and make the son of Jabal king over it. And this is what the Sovereign Lord says, it will not take place, it will not happen. And God goes on to say why it will not happen, and these great words, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. So God took a reassuring, an unusual step of inviting the king to ask him for a sign. And I'm sure that you would like that, as I would probably. But he did not want to ask God for a sign and give a pious answer. And God was angry with him and told him that nevertheless, he was going to give the king a sign. And he says, hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you not try the patience of God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. And the virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, and he will eat curds and honey, and when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. So God sent him, go and give him this message. Tell him what's going to happen, and that before this boy is old enough, then these two kings are going to disappear. And like many prophecies, it had an immediate impact, and it had a long-term future impact. The immediate impact was that a virgin was going to give birth to a child. And within 2 years after that, both of these guys would be out of the picture. So the Bible doesn't tell us who the young woman was. And most commentators would believe it would be Isaiah's own wife, that she was going to give birth to a child. She was a virgin, she was going to get married, and then they were going to have a baby. And the fact it's potentially Isaiah's son, and that the son is a sign, fits in with another passage in Isaiah 8 and 18. Here am I, and the children the Lord has given me. We are signs and symbols in Israel. This child would be born, and the mother would call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which means God with us, spelled either with an E, and as it is in the Septuagint, or with an I. And so this young woman obviously had faith, which contrasts, of course, with the king at that particular time. So she's going to give birth, is going to give birth to a baby, and before his baby's 2 years old, God's going to do a miraculous thing. But the ultimate fulfillment of Emmanuel is, of course, Jesus himself, and we'll see that in a moment. So Isaiah's expecting the arrival of one whose character and work will entitle him to great names, and it goes on in Isaiah 9 to speak about this person being Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So in Isaiah's day, God is saying to them, God is with you. Emmanuel, God is with you. And of course, he was, and we celebrate that at Christmas time. And so this concept of God being with us has always been important to the people of God. You might remember in Moses' day that after Moses is getting the revelation in the top of the mountain, the children of Israel are messing about down the mountain. They've built golden calves. They've got corrupted in idolatry. And there's a charge against them by the Levites. He's got an extreme form of church discipline, kills them all with a sword. The Levites are then set apart for God, and Moses goes to intercede before God. The children of Israel have messed up, and he says, forgive them, Lord, and even blot my name out of the book. And God says to Moses, you lead the people, and I'll send my angel. And Moses intercedes with God and basically says, God, we don't want an angel. We want you to guide us and to lead us. He says, how will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people? And the presence of God should be something that distinguishes God's people from other people. And Moses says, so God, he said, I'm not going, Lord, unless you're going before us. And God actually answered Moses' prayer. Because God's presence with him was so important. He did not even want an angel. He wanted the presence of God himself. I wonder if we see how important it is. For me in my life, I want to be in the center of God's will. I want to go on God-directed journeys. I want his presence. That old hymn, it says, guide me, O Thou great Jehovah, sung it at the rugby matches and by the Welsh people. That's what I want in my life, for God to guide me and lead me. So it was important back in Isaiah's day. It was important in Moses' day. And throughout the Old Testament, we find this very important principle. In battle, it was important that God was with his people. We sing it. It's based on Scripture. He aids us against the enemies. And some of our songs this morning had that kind of dimension to them. In Numbers 13, in the 12 spies incident, when the 12 spies go to spy out against Canaan, and they recoil because of the giants, then when Caleb and Joshua intercede before God on behalf of the people, and they stand up and declare to the people, they make this declaration that these people are just ordinary people, but God is with them. And he says, God permitted we will do it. The Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. That was exactly the same confidence that David had when he went out to fight Goliath. He went out to fight Goliath, not in his own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. And that's how we fight our battles. We sang a song earlier about, this is how I fight my battle, because it's in God's name and in his strength. And we need to know that in our lives, that we have God on our side, that the battle still belongs to the Lord, that one angel is still a powerful, mighty warrior, as happened in the days of Hezekiah, we'll see in a minute. And we need to remind ourselves of this in difficult situations, such as we are experiencing at this moment in time, that, friends, God is with us. It's a wonderful thing. In the days of Hezekiah, in 2 Chronicles 32, when the king of Assyria again came against him and invaded Judah and used propaganda and saber-rattling to get Hezekiah to surrender, he tried to undermine Hezekiah's trust in God. And you can read about that in 2 Chronicles 32. But Hezekiah knew who his God was, and he knew what his God could do for him. Do you know that? And he turned around and he said, there is a greater power with us than with him. Amen. I know Fiona McAllister's watching today. That's one of her favorite verses. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us to fight our battles. And the Bible says that when Hezekiah declared that, the people themselves gained confidence. And that's one of the goals of me bringing you this encouragement today, is that you would also find encouragement. That in your job situation, in the situation that you find yourself in, if your business is going through the war at this moment in time because of what's going on, that you would know that God is with you. I pray that you are finding confidence today. It was important in testing times, and it's so important for us today in our testing times. Testing times are more than battles against literal enemies. It can be battles in our mind. We all face them. And from what I see in the Bible, God is sufficient for everyone. The Lord Almighty is with us, declared the psalmist. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah, pause and think about that. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. What a great statement when everything else is falling apart. He's with us, dear friends. We see that in the picture of the three Hebrew young men who refused to bow to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. And he ordered that the furnace, and we know about furnaces in our area, be heated 7 times hotter than usual. And it's so hot that the people, the soldiers that are going to throw them into the furnace, themselves die because of the heat. And then when the king looks in the fire, the three Hebrew children are not only there themselves, but there's a fourth one there. And we sing that song, there's another in the fire standing next to me. And it's based on that particular passage there and from Isaiah chapter 40. And it tells us about the marvelous things that God does for his people. All of a sudden, he sees another person and the fire. And many, many people believe that to be the presence of the pre-incarnate Jesus, before he actually came to this earth as a man. God was with them. You know, it's amazing. They were delivered safe. They didn't even have a smell of smoke. All they lost was the bands that bound them. Joseph's another example. He did amazing, great things. He mouthed off a bit as a young guy and told everybody about his dream and how his brothers would fall down and worship before him and his parents as well. So they sold him into slavery, and there he's sold into slavery, and he rises to the top, and then his boss's wife gets a crush on him, and he does the right thing, and he gets put in jail because she makes a false accusation against him, and he's promised freedom in the jail, and he doesn't get it, and he went through a terrible time in his life. But over and over again, this is what the Bible tells us: the Lord was with Joseph, and God is with you, friends. Grace mentioned in Psalm 23, another great statement. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. It's a great truth and was a constant source of blessing to the people of God. So the theme was important in Isaiah's time and all through the Old Testament. And that promise of Emmanuel, as I said, predicted that Jesus would come. And he came. In 1 Timothy 3:16, beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, and that's what Jesus did. And he walked this scene of time, did all these miracles. And then when he left, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he promised that he would be in us, the Holy Spirit would be in us. And Jesus would never leave us nor forsake us himself. So we look through the Bible and we find exactly that is happening. In danger or times of trial, like Paul himself in Acts 23, it says, the following night the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage. And so God was with him in his trial. Or in that voyage on the way to Rome in the middle of a great storm. And you might be in the middle of a great storm. It says that last night an angel of the God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood what? Beside me. And then when his friends deserted him in 2 Timothy chapter 4, but the Lord stood at my side. And then we find in evangelism that when God's people went forth in evangelism to tell people the good news about Jesus dying on the cross, about the love of God and all the wonderful things God has done for us, it says that Jesus promised that as we go, he'll go with us. And friends, the best way that our churches will grow is if every single one of us take Jesus with us day by day into our workplace, into our communities, into our neighborhood, and live the way Jesus wanted us to live, and that the presence of God would be with us. And he promises to go with us. Don't worry about what to say. He'll give you words to say. Be real, live real, and God will help us. I remember last year when we did a service in Falkirk Football Stadium car park, an open air service one night. It was a highlight. I remember standing at the back before I went on to share God's word, and the band were leading us so well in worship, and people were in their cars. I remember feeling the presence of God, and I thought, God, this is wonderful, because he was with us in evangelism at the time. And we should expect signs and wonders when God is with us, because he's a powerful God, he's a mighty God, and it tells us in Mark 16 that he worked with them. So let's believe for more miracles. And when you go out into your day to day, let's believe that when we pray, lay hands on the sick and come alongside people that are in need, and God will meet with us and flow through us. And he's with us in prayer. It tells us that where two or three come together in my name, there am I with you. Beautiful, beautiful. He's with us in praise and worship. The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And there's times that God's with us in a very special way. I remember years ago, old saints used to use a phrase, I felt the rustle of his garments. And so they were like saying that in the times of coming together to praise and worship, or come around the Lord's table or whatever, they kind of felt the Lord's presence in a powerful, in a challenging, in a tangible sort of way. That song that we sing, Waymaker, you are here, moving in our midst. And when we sing that song, I believe it, that he's a God who's with us. I felt the presence of God in a sense of peace last Sunday when I was leading a service. And during communion, I felt God wanted me to communicate that to you, to impart that to you over the airwaves. And those of you who are listening are the best judges of whether that will happen. But I've seen that in a hospital ward, or I've seen it with other people praying for folk and praying that God will impart something to the people that are there in hospital. And he does. God's presence, you see, is lines up with God's power. In Samuel Rodriguez's book, Be Light, he says God's presence equals God's power. And he speaks about that's how the early church, and of course Gideon, expected that to be. And he goes on to say, power to cast out whatever is not right, power to move whatever stands in your way, power to walk in the midst of storms, power to speak the truth in love, power to shake off dust, power to preach the word, power to walk in holiness, power to do justice, power to love mercy, power to say yes, power to say no, power to shine the light, power to change the world. And so, friends, we're at number six of the dynamic dozen. God is true, God is near, God is faithful, God is the one who goes before, God is sovereign, and God is with us. It says in Deuteronomy 20, "For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies." Imagine having the God that we've just been speaking about with us. Little wonder the psalmist could say, "Blessed is the nation, blessed are the people whose God is the Lord." He's with us, friends. Whatever situation we go through, whatever valley we go through, whatever difficulty, challenge, He is with us. You will get through. You will get through this crisis. You can become crisis proof because God is with you. And because God is, you and me can be so much more. That's a biblical certainty in an uncertain world. During the last year, friends, it's been a year like no other. But I'm standing here before you today to say, my mental health is good. Our marriage is good. Ministry has been challenging, but God has helped us. Why? Because He is with us. Isaiah 41:1, "Do not fear, for I am with you. I will uphold you." That was Grace's testimony. That's my testimony. And I pray that it's your testimony as well. As I draw this time to an end, I want to give you an invitation this morning to accept this God.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.